One of my favorite lines from the Star Wars movie was when R2-D2 tells C-3PO, "Bop, boop, beep, boop, beep, beep, boop, boop, beep, beep." Classic R2.
Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
But I was going to the Tosche station to pick up some power converters.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
These aren't the droids you are looking for.
Train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose.
I love you.
I know.
Anakin, you are the chosen one.
Do or do not. There is no try.
No. I am your father.
May the Force be with you.
Welcome everybody to Take Two Special Star Wars Made a Fourth Edition. I'm Nick. Everybody want to introduce themselves? Say hello.
Hey, it's Tony, everybody. How you doing?
Hello, it's the favorite host, Bo.
Not so much anymore.
Oh, this is Roy. How's everybody going?
Brian, you there?
Yeah, going well. This is Brian. Hi, everybody. Happy May the 4th, everybody.
All right. All right. For all those who are listening who may not be huge Star Wars fans, May the 4th is official Star Wars Day, which I like to celebrate. I'm pretty sure all the other hosts feel the same. And we're doing
You're the only one. Just you. You're the only guy that likes it.
Yeah. I was just told to show up. I didn't even know we were talking about Star Wars today.
Yeah, well, I thought this was about Cinco de Mayo. I got it wrong.
Hey. I lied.
I just said mayo. I was like, I mean,
Cinco de Mayo.
Jeez, here we go.
All right. All right. So we're going to go into a little bit of everything. We're going to talk about our favorite characters, movie moments, least favorite characters, the direction of we think the series is going with Disney, what they're doing. You know, whether we would be Jedi or Sith, different things like that. So we're going to kick it off, and I say let's start with everyone's favorite characters. I'll lead it off. No surprise here. Darth Vader is by far my favorite character in the whole Star Wars series. Ever since I was a kid, I just loved Darth Vader, you know.
Anything in particular about why?
I don't know. Just he's just a badass. I don't know. He just had that persona, like, you know, wow, this is Darth Vader. I'm not messing with that guy. It's just, you know. And then as I've gotten older and I read some of the novels, which most of them were bad, but it was amazing, albeit they never really showed any of his exploits on the big screen up until recently. But, I mean, just the general character, I like the look of the outfit. I think Lucas did a really good job. I think the mask could have been done a little well. The mask is dated, but you can't really change that now. But other than that, I mean, the general character was just awesome to me.
Did you get a different sense of Darth Vader after the prequels came out? Did Lucas ruin that persona as you saw him become Darth Vader?
You know, not so much. I like how he became Darth Vader. It showed the fall. I just think the dialogue of the movie in general was lacking. And the actor, what's his last name?
Christensen.
Just a bad, I don't know if he's a bad actor or the directing or a combination of all. It just, that in itself wasn't done well. Like the overarching story of like the Palpatine using the love of, you know, Padme against him and, you know, exposing that weakness to push him further and further to the dark side was cool. And how Sith would really go about doing it. But just the dialogue in general was just, it was just bad. It was just done poorly. But the action and the choreograph and the special effects were good. So it didn't really ruin my perception of Vader. It's just, I think it just could have been done a little better.
Yeah, I don't feel that they portrayed young Darth as like very strong. Maybe it was just the actor because he seemed kind of whiny to me. He was just, you know, it was like, oh, I love you. And whenever he came across, he always came across very, not strong at all, as opposed to how Darth is supposed to be, very dark, angry. He never seemed to be that angry. Maybe the last one when he totally, you know, his eyes were red and he was kind of losing it then. That's probably the best. But at the beginning, he really didn't come across as somebody who was going to be Darth Vader.
It's a more.
Taking out that, oh, I love you, voice drop from Daryl Bell. We're going to add that into every episode now.
Hopefully. That's going to be my new ringtone. No, but I mean, like when Vader's true fall, when he went into the temple and killed the younglings, I'm like, well, he's officially Vader at that point. I mean, he was so far off
the edge. At the end, when he started doing that and he started having that just real dark look to his, and his eyes were, you know, looking darker, and that's when he started looking more like Darth Vader. Yeah. But before that, I didn't feel very Darth Vader-ish at all.
I think it was mainly the actor and just the script that they were given. I mean, it could have been done a lot better. You know, to say it took Lucas 20 plus years to write these scripts for episodes 1, 2, and 3 is a little disappointing. I mean, yeah, you can Monday morning quarterback it, but I don't know.
I think we were also raised on this badass character that we knew from 4, 5, and 6. And then once it came around to showing Baby Vader, it was a letdown because you had that high and mighty character in your thoughts, you know, and the voice, the booming James Earl Jones voice, you know, doesn't quite match up with the whiny tone of Hayden Christensen and all that. So,
yeah,
I just think the juxtaposition of him at the different phases of his life didn't work out well when you already knew the badass version and you had to go back and see the whiny version.
Yeah.
All right, my turn.
Yeah.
Moving on from this town. Okay, I'm going to take a sweep. All right, I'm opening up my blue milk. All right, my guy, my favorite character of all the films, it's hands down, easily, okay, he can make the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. He had the best leather jacket in the galaxy. Yes, he did frickin' shoot first, Han Solo. Best character in all the films.
That is a great pick.
Did you say Hans down? Hans down?
Yep. Hans down. Hans down. And he most definitely did shoot first, you know. But,
I don't give a damn if he did shoot first. We'll take it. He's the best sidekick in the league. Doesn't say a word, but he knows it. Han Solo's my pick. Next.
Now, are you looking forward to the prequel version, or do you think it's going to ruin that character for you?
No, I think it'll ruin, in all honesty. You know, very similar to what you guys were just saying that Christensen did with Vader. You know, there's a reason it's a legacy and an icon built by one actor, by one way he portrays something, and as well as this guy will be able to do in a different style of character and a building up, it won't be the same. So I'll still go see him. I'll still go check him out. But yes, I do think it'll work.
Yeah. All right. Now, to piggyback off what you were saying, I kind of have a dual favorite character because I like one good, one bad, if you will. But my favorite good character is Chewbacca.
Chewie, okay.
I love him. I finally got to meet him this year. You guys saw the picture. I had a lot of fun doing that. I don't know. I just always enjoyed the character. You don't know what he's saying, but I love the way him and Han played off each other, and Han knew what he was saying somehow. And you know, I don't know. I just loved his character, his arc throughout, and I still want him to get his medal. But he's my favorite one. And then I think my favorite bad guy is Darth Maul. Just for the sake that I think you didn't see enough of him in the movies, but then if you follow some of the other stuff, they did really develop the character in the animated series and stuff. And he's a badass, so I really like him. So that's it.
And to piggyback on the Darth Maul stuff, if you really want more, the one book, he has two books actually. It's like his Darth Plagueis. They introduced Darth Maul, and then like. It was one we had the I don't know if this book is canon. I know Darth Plagueis is, but the next book they sent him to this prison to doing some covert ops for Palpatine when he was still, you know, before he became Emperor. And that was a good book. I have to get that to you. It was a good story. I don't know what Disney is counting as actual official canon these days because it's kind of they pick and choose whatever they want whenever they want because you know, it's their product now. But
well, just based on what I saw on Clone Wars and Rebels, I thought. What they did with the character there was really good.
So. They did a good job, yeah.
Nick, that was the best promo you've ever dropped on our show. Speaking of Darth Maul, he's got his book series out at Barnes & Noble.
Brian is on a roll today.
Yes, he is.
Somebody's got that good Kentucky whiskey.
I would agree with Tony that I would have liked to have seen more of Darth in the first Star Wars. So, Bo, who's your favorite character? So we can move this along.
You know, I'd have to say my favorite character is probably Obi-Wan. Didn't know so much about him in the first three, one, two, you know, because he. Well, why not? You know, the old guy's the baddest. He's the one that kicked everybody's ass. He kicked Darth Maul's ass, kicked Darth Vader's ass.
He did.
Did we see Star Wars?
Well, come on. I mean, he was old and he gave up. He looked at the guy and said, you know what? I'm done. He just gave up. Come on. But, you know, I liked it because through the whole thing, one, two, and three, he was always the go-to guy. He was always the one that was, going out and finding certain people. He through the whole thing, he never let the dark side get to him. He ended up having to take out the guy that he was training. All in all, I think he was the strongest character out of all of them. I mean, you know, except for after four, he was just a ghost. But and I do agree with Darth Maul. Everybody still there?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We're also there.
Usually don't pour us until hour two.
Oh, sorry. Darth Maul, I agree, is a pretty badass character. He was. I kind of liked him a little better than Darth Vader. I mean, just because the simple fact, you know, he had a better fighting style. He was. You know, Darth in 4, 5, and 6, you really never saw him fight like he did in the last Star Wars they made. That last scene where he come through and just, like, destroyed all the people in there. That was pretty amazing. I'd like to see more of that about Darth. Then I might change my mind. But overall, Obi-Wan's my man.
He has one of my favorite lines in all the movies, too. These are not the droids you're looking for. I love that scene. I don't know why he's rolling a booger in between his fingers while he's saying that.
Well, he has to concentrate. He has to concentrate on the Force. He's old.
But I do love
Force. Jedi exercise. That's what it is.
Now are you worried about the other movie that they're talking about doing with Obi-Wan, like more Ewan McGregor, or are you Alec Guinness Obi-Wan guy?
I think Gregor's the better one. I mean, I
agree.
Because, like I said, the older one, he was only in there, like, you know, the first movie, and then after that, he was just a spirit and a voice. So, mm-hmm. But I think he was probably the strongest one, even stronger than Luke is supposed to be, in my opinion.
He had the high ground. I mean,
had the high ground. He told the guy, "Hey, I have the high ground. You're gonna lose."
For half an hour, and all he had to do
how much. How much anger just blinds you? You just don't listen. But I'd like to see more, of young Obi-Wan. I think that's when he was it was his prime time years.
There's some good stories. There's some good comic books they released about young Obi-Wan, which my son and I got him last year. So I'm assuming they may go with some of that stuff. So good stories. I will look forward to those films if they ever get made. I don't know if that's a solid yes or no. But I know they were shopping it around.
I think you'll hear more about what they're going to do next after this one comes out.
Yeah, I mean, they got that, and then Han Solo is next year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. It'll be.
I think once this one comes out and makes $1 billion in like 2 days, then they'll be like, yep, let's make all the movies.
Yeah.
Just make up stuff. Come on. They can do anything they want nowadays.
Maybe we'll get that long, long awaited Ewok movie we've always wanted.
The last Star Wars movie I will ever see. All right, Rory, you're up, buddy. What you got for us?
All right, well, I was actually surprised that we all had different characters. I figured someone would have picked at least the same ones. I went with Yoda as my favorite character.
Okay.
I always liked his comedic relief there when he first met Skywalker, and how he kind of didn't play off that he was this all-powerful Jedi. And then he's another character like Obi-Wan, where you didn't get a lot of his true history until the prequels. But that scene where he's fighting Count Dooku with the lightsaber, because you know in canon you always hear that he's an amazing duelist with a lightsaber. And then even though it was CGI, it was still pretty badass to watch.
It was good.
Yeah.
To spin around there.
Say lightsaber again.
Lightsaber.
Okay, go ahead.
So creepy.
So to see him duel Count Dooku Dooku, and, you know, again, another apprentice of his that he's fighting, kind of the way the whole Star Wars series kind of goes. It was just cool to see that, and just his ability to be stoic, and then you got to see him on the council, so just all of that made him my favorite. And then, of course, it's the way he talks. You know, everyone likes to pantomime him and do his voice as best they can, so
Dude,
that's why I chose him.
There is no try.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Right you are.
Well, yeah, the scene with Dooku, the coolest part of it is when he doesn't need the cane, right?
Oh, that was
yeah,
awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, that cracked me up. He walks in with his cane.
Yeah. Kind of scratches his back and then goes to town.
Yeah.
I mean, the fight scene cracked me up. Just seeing this little green dude just flipping around and just, oh my God, it was hilarious.
Well, it's not only that, but it's how it starts. Like, he opens his hand and then force pulls his lightsaber to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's when you knew it's like, all right, this is going to come down now.
Yeah.
So.
Now, did the change in technology ruin Yoda for you at all? Like,
it did a little bit because you got, like, the way I thought it out is that you kind of saw the older Yoda. Yeah, so at least with the CGI. Yeah, so you got to see the younger Yoda in the prequels, so the CGI helped with it. But I would have liked to have seen the prequels kind of try to utilize that the puppet technology a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Understandably, they're not going to be able to throw a puppet around to do the lightsaber scenes, but
sure.
I mean,
yeah.
I thought you could have kept at least kind of that reminiscent for the older films to go with the prequels. But nevertheless, like those that saw Vader in Rogue One, to see Yoda spinning around and being able to do that was pretty cool. Because you would have never thought to be able to see that, seeing the Star Wars, so.
That's
yeah,
true.
Otherwise you just saw him flipping around in a backpack on Luke's back.
Exactly.
Old senile Yoda.
Whoa!
Somebody needs to control their saber.
That wasn't me this time.
Alright, so I guess we hit it. Go ahead.
Roy, did we see that together? My theater cheered when Yoda stopped using the cane.
No, that was prior to coming on to work.
No, but my theater cheered when he started walking without the cane. Like, people actually stood up and started clapping, which I know is Roy's favorite thing to happen in a movie theater, is when people applaud.
Yes, yes, yes. There's nothing I like more is when at the end of the film everyone stands up and claps and cheers for the film that they just paid to see. I love it. As if the actors can hear you cheer for them.
I'm with you, Roy. I hate that. It is annoying. Oh my God, it's one of the most annoying things.
All decide to go see a film. Please, all of you, stand up and clap. It will make me very happy.
Consider it done, my friend.
Yes.
Is that before or after Brian still sits there waiting for a scene that isn't there?
No post credits.
Before it. Yep. I actually enjoy when you do it for previews too. So just clap during the whole film, but, you know, makes me happy.
I don't understand why there wasn't a post-credit scene for Boss Baby. That doesn't make sense.
There should have been.
There right, was.
Go ahead, bro.
I said there was. You just missed it. You didn't wait long enough.
All right, Nick, keep us moving, baby.
All right. Next up, so favorite Star Wars movie moments, guys. Since I need a little more time to think, because I've been thinking about this all week, I really don't know which one is my favorite movie moments. I have a couple. I'll pass it on. Why not?
My favorite moment of every Star Wars movie, this is the easy easy out answer, is just the music opening and the scroll. I mean, I love that. It gives you the chills every time you see it. That was the one thing I was missing in Rogue One. I get why they didn't do it, but every time you watch that Star Wars movie, that's what you're waiting for. You love that music when it first comes on and you see the scroll. So for me, that's always my favorite moment of the movie. So.
All right. You're not allowed to go first anymore.
Me? Why?
Because you just stole Brian's.
We just can't do the show together anymore. We always have each other's answers.
You took my Vader, now you took my music. All right, now I need more time to think.
Ooh, all right, well, I can go. I have a moment that I like. It's actually a battle scene, and it's the one, and Tony, you'll like this. It's the one between Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan when they fight Darth Maul.
Mm-hmm.
That whole scene between the two going back and forth, and then, of course, you know,
and the music is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that whole battle scene is one of my favorite moments, actually, in the whole prequels and almost during the whole series, because you get so much lightsaber fighting, and you get you get the dynamic between the two different styles of Jedi fighting, and then of course Darth Maul's with the long dual saber. So
that dual saber was pretty awesome. That was pretty badass.
Awesome. So that was one of the few things that they got right with the prequels was that character. And,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Just doing the new lightsaber was awesome. They really did a great job with that. Yeah.
And the other moment that I liked was actually in the trilogy was when Luke goes to save Solo and Leia from Jabba the Hutt. That whole series. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, he goes in and he kind of just acts real cocky as if he knows everything that's going to happen. Yes. And he's telling everyone, you know, just calm down. I got this. That whole scene and that persona really just drove that character for me.
Yeah, well, that's the first time you see Luke actually being like a man.
Yes.
Because the first movie, he's kind of whiny bitch boy a little bit. And the second movie, yeah, he has that swagger about him. And I love that, too. You're right. That whole scene with Jabba's palace is great.
And he walks in. It's just the whole persona. He walks in with the robe and the all-black suit. And, he's got the robotic hand thing going on.
He's doing some force stuff, right, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He does it all, and he's just basically say, here I am, I'm the man, I'm about to just wipe this place clean, let's go.
He's officially a Jedi at that point.
So those are my two scenes from the prequels and the original trilogies.
Somebody needs to recut that scene with Staying Alive playing over it, because it's very similar to like Travolta.
Alright, I knew mine all along. Mine's the biggest twist in cinematic history.
Ooh. Is that when they introduced Jar Jar Binks?
You know it.
Spoiler alert, everyone. Spoiler.
Alright, legit, yeah. If you haven't seen the Star Wars films, don't listen. When we find out who Luke's father is, it's the biggest moment in film history in a lot of people's opinions, and that's gotta be huge. When he says, no, I am...
Isn't it also one of the... There it is, yep.
One of the most misquoted?
I was.
Okay. Yeah, because it is one of the most misquoted lines in cinematic history. People think he says, Luke, I am your father, but he says, no, I am your father. But to me, that's my favorite moment. Next.
Okay, that's it? No more?
You're up, Bo.
Okay, I'm up. You know what? It's hard to nail down one particular moment. I love the Darth Vader scene. I'll probably say that a lot. While we talk about this, the final scene when Darth Vader just let loose. I mean, that was the first time you really see him do what he can do, and you see how awesome he really is. I love the Darth Maul fight. Most of them are the fight scenes. You know, like the Darth Maul fight was both of them, when they fought him in the desert and when they fought him when he finally ended up, you know, killing what's his face.
Qui-Gon.
Thank you. Mostly, I'll forget these names. I'm horrible with these names. But that one, and you know, you brought up the Yoda fight. That was awesome. And both times he fought him. Not only did he fight him, you know, in that cave, but he also fought him in the council when they were bouncing from chair to chair. And it was just, mostly you put together the good fight scenes. Not so much in the first one, episode 4, but later on they started getting better. And now they're doing, you know, they did 4, 5, and 6. And I mean, 1, 2, and 3, and then 7. The fight scenes are just amazing to me. So you can pick any one, and that's like, yep, that's my favorite.
Yeah. Okay.
They're not quite as good as Iron Fist, but they're good.
Well, they're close. They're close. I mean, you know, they can't all be an Iron Fist.
I love the fact that no one has said, my favorite scenes are when they're doing the Imperial Senate. I love the speech that Palpatine gives.
That rah-rah political speech.
It's always the politics.
Or I love the teddy bear picnic that ended the original series. That really sold it for me. All right. Oh, God.
All right. Well, for me, it's really tough to nail down. I have to say... One of my newer favorite scenes is from, you know, episode 7, and it's actually the chase scene with the Millennium when Rey and Finn got on the Millennium Falcon, and when the tarp blew off, and like, that ship's a piece of junk. I mean, but like, and you saw it was the Falcon. I'm like, that was awesome. And then just that was like an awesome scene, and I love starships and all that crap, as everyone knows. But and my favorite fight scene, I would have to say Palpatine versus Yoda.
Really?
Yeah, I like that scene. Just the two masters, like the number one Sith versus the number one Jedi.
Was that when Mace Windu goes out the window? Was that the same scene?
No,
that was the one when he was fighting the guy you were just talking about, and then Darth before he became Darth Christian.
Anakin
was there, but he didn't.
Anakin's the one that actually did that to
throws
him.
Yeah, yeah,
throws him out the window. That was a different fight, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's when he found out that Anakin was turning to the dark side.
Yeah.
He was trying to stop him.
Well, like Palpatine kind of let Mace Windu, I guess, whip him up a little bit to show, to kind of manipulate Anakin more, is what that scene was about. But let's get into some whole deeper Star Wars geekdom that I don't feel like going into right now. I guess we were joking. For the fans listening, everyone has been putting up their little Star Wars memorabilia. So I guess we're rolling to that right now. I don't know if anyone has any favorite toys or any collectibles that they have or may want to put on eBay for the fans to bid on. I don't know.
But, my favorite thing now is just that I get to play with my son's toys again. He loves the movies now, and then he buys all these masks and lightsabers and stuff, and I get have fun doing it, so that's cool for me.
I like the fact that he buys them. I mean, does he have a job now?
Yeah, yeah.
He buys.
Starting young. I like it.
Well, I got my son, you know, it's weird. He's into Rebels, but he's not into the toys. I'm the one who buys the Star Wars toys, but that my wife has bought me over the years collectible mug sets. She actually got me, like, she still won't tell me how much they cost on eBay, but like the original, like Star Wars mugs of the heads, like, you know, I got Luke, Leia, Vader, and Han Solo. I got to get the rest of them, but like I know they cost a crap ton of money on eBay, but crap like that. And I got some posters, and I don't own a lightsaber though. It's kind of
what?
I know. It's just like that's the weirdest thing. I don't own a lightsaber.
Yeah. Oh, there it is.
I know.
I mean, when I was younger, I'm trying to think of what toys I had. I mean, I know I had the ships. You know,
weren't they made out of wood when you were younger?
No, we eventually
painted red and blue.
We moved on to plastics. Come on. I mean, we're not.
You said you had the ships.
That too.
I'm sorry. Maybe I should enunciate ship.
Oh,
come on. All right.
No, but I had a couple of the ships. I think the one that I remember the most was, you know, the little folders you used to get for the, remember the Trapper Keepers? Remember for the school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The folders you put inside, I had one that had a picture of Leia on it. And I just remember it was so glossy. And she
remember, this is a family show.
I know. Listen up. I didn't do anything weird to it. I was only like, what, 8 or something? I don't know. But
they had Trapper Keepers back then?
Wow. They did.
That's what I'm stuck on right now.
It was late 70s. Come on. So, I mean, it did. But that's what I remember is her hair being back in the bun and on her ears and the big red shiny lips. I was like, oh. For a young kid, that was quite nice.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. Okay, we're good.
All right. You sure?
Give Bo a moment here.
I'm
a little old, so it doesn't take, you know, to take much.
Okay, family show. Family show. All right.
I've spoken before how I used to have a Luke, and it's the one that was all in black. And I didn't have a lot of the Star Wars characters when I was growing up, but that was one that I did have. And he always went everywhere with me. Like, he was one of those, you know, kids would bring G.I. Joes and stuff like that, and I always had this Luke guy going with me, and my brother and I would fight over him constantly. And that's, I just remember that being my favorite character running around. He ended up going into G.I. Joe ships, airplanes. He would be on Legos. He would be able to go anywhere. He was incorporated in, I think he fought He-Man one time. So he was everywhere.
You were the master of the crossovers early. Huh?
Since you and your brother are twins, and Luke had a twin, did that make your brother Leia?
Nice.
Does he listen to our?
He does listen to our show, and I'm not going to say that he didn't have the Leia bikini, and that he would have to, you know, play the part. It just happens.
Good. That'll be an email we get later. Awesome.
We are twins, but we're a minute apart, and I always say he's my younger brother, so he has to fall to the younger brother duties. If any of us have younger brothers, you know how it is. You just said the duty. Older brother gets to tell you what to do.
Shits and duty.
Shits and duties.
All right.
Moving along.
All right. Okay. Least favorite moments, guys. Least favorite moments in the Star Wars franchise history.
Jar Jar.
Are we all in agreement? And the Ewoks.
Like I said, it still sticks with me that Lando did them wrong. I don't like that.
I didn't like that they forgave him so easily.
Yeah, they did. You know, too easy.
They're like, oh, here's a ship. Like,
you just gave us up to Darth. Oh, by the way, we're good friends now.
Here's my ship.
I also didn't like, we mentioned it before, but Obi-Wan just kind of giving up. I always thought, why? You're this Master Jedi. Why are you just standing there letting yourself die? That doesn't seem right to me at all. Like, would you at least try to...
That's a good question. I have no idea
why. Stop him, cut a leg off or something? I mean...
It's weird because they kind of did again. That. They kind of did
but
that.
But I never... That one always stuck in me is one that I didn't understand.
Yeah, they kind of did that again with Qui-Gon in a way where he was like, let me take this on my own, but I think he knew he was going to go down.
Yeah, do you think they knew, or do you think, in fact, like, for me, I felt that he gave up Obi-Wan because he knew that he was passing it on to Luke. Like, he felt that Luke was going to be the next one, and in order for it to pass it on, he had to die. I mean, that's the way I took it.
I thought his arms were just tired from all that slow-motion lightsaber fighting.
Oh, yeah, that did take a lot out of him. That was crazy.
The Jedi definitely got beefed up in the prequel series. But I feel that that scene, was he trying to, like, you know, give them more time? Was that it? Was that the issue, to give them the right time to get away?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, because, like, I would think he would keep fighting with give him more time than just dying.
Maybe he thought Vader was going to have a change of heart. I don't know.
Right. He hates him.
He lost out, man.
He hates him. He said in the very end of the he's like, I hate you, as he like disintegrated to nothing.
He sounded just like that too.
I know. I thought I did a good job.
All right. So I figured that would be a quick segment. So anybody else has anything they want to pile on to the least favorite character, favorite moment?
Solo dying.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
What? What? Oh, I almost walked out of the theater. I was broken up when that happened. I'm like, come on.
I felt bad for Chewie. I really felt bad for Chewie.
Hey, Chewie's awesome.
Yeah.
Very upset.
I feel like goddamn Carrot Top tonight. I've got like a basket full of toys over here.
Well, Tyson kid. Props.
I've got my props, yeah. Ridiculous. All right.
My favorite too soon moment was it was a Solo cup with a lightsaber through it.
Mm. Like, yeah, that was
too soon. Too soon.
All right. So if nobody else has anything, let's just jump right along to let's fast forward to the current series and like the new direction of Disney. I guess first question: does everyone like what Disney is doing right now?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I know there was a lot of talk about, oh, they copied, the first movie. Was just, part four, rehash, whatever, but I thought it was great. I love it.
I agree.
I used to say, oh, I don't want them to, like, overdo it. Now I'm like, no, I want to see as many movies as you want to make. I'll go watch all of them.
Yeah.
And, I agree. I'll see them all.
And I'm kind of glad they actually toned down some of the actual, they were all amateurs so far as, like, Warriors. I'm kind of glad they had more realistic lightsaber sword battles. That's my big complaint is, like, they've never been consistent with what they can do physically. Like, like the original, obviously the special effects weren't there, but then you went to, episodes 1, 2, and 3 and the Jedi and Sith are like freaking, like super steroid ninjas. I mean, like, and then, I don't know. I'm kind of glad they toned it down, but it's still cool. And I know the next movie is probably going to have a little more. They're going to be, Kylo and Rey are supposed to get more training, so we're going to have more of the acrobatics and whatnot. But I really enjoyed Episode 7 so far. As like it was kind of a, I don't want to say realistic, but it was more. Yeah. It was
more gritty, more grounded.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, me too. I agree.
I like the diversity that Disney is putting into it. I mean, you have a black stormtrooper, you have a female lead. Kylo Ren was like a hipster millennial. Up in the next one, you know, Poe and Finn are going to get together, and there's going to be a first gay couple in Star Wars. It's great.
That hasn't been confirmed yet. It's kind of got a romance thing going on.
I like the direction. I loved Rogue One. I thought Rogue One was fantastic.
Yeah.
And it took off on Force Awakens, you know, brought everybody back in a whole brand new generation. And then they jumped on Rogue One and loved it just as much.
Yeah.
Plus that badass scene with Vader at the end.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah,
I like that part. That was one of my favorite parts.
You said it a couple times.
Did I? Okay. Just want to make sure you got it out there.
And that's what I like about what Disney's doing is giving us those ones that aren't part of the main series, but it helps the wait time. You're not waiting.
It also fills in the gaps of the movie. Like, it was kind of cool to see what happened, like how Darth Vader got to where he was in Episode 4, the very beginning of the movie. It's like all this sudden you just jump in, but now because of Rogue One, you see what led up to it. You know what he did, how he was actually on the trail of finding the information they stole.
Maybe they'll make a movie that's all about the Ewoks building their tree houses.
And buying droid scraps.
The sad thing is that we'll still probably make $1 billion.
Yeah, it would.
We'll all have kids. We'll all be there to see it.
Yeah, it's true. I'm with Tony. I enjoy that you're getting the other stories, and you get a kind of a little taste of Star Wars in between them making the saga films. I'm just hoping that they continue with the saga films and that it just doesn't end. Of course, I don't know where it will go or how far into the future they can do it, or, you know, what are these characters? Are these characters going to start having children and we're going to start going there? Or are we going to end it or what have you?
I know.
I enjoy the extra canon. And like you guys said, I look forward to seeing the Han Solo film. I don't think they are ever going to find a character that will do the same justice as Harrison Ford. But give me as much Star Wars as you can put out, because I will eat it up.
Well, you know, there's a lot of stories in Star Wars that have nothing to do with that don't have the characters that we know now. I mean, you can go as far as saying, like, they can start a series that starts with Luke's son. And Nick, I'm sure you can back me up on this, that the storyline with Luke's son are pretty decent storylines.
I want to say when Disney bought LucasArts, like, I think they trashed like 90% of like all of the established canon. So I don't even know if they're even going to go that route.
Well, there's been talk of them. The next trilogy, they want to be non-Skywalker, correct? That's what I've read. Like after Episode 9, that should close the book on Skywalkers.
Skywalkers in general? Like not even the family, not even like future kids or anything?
That's what I read. I read that they were going to try and move on with a new trilogy, new storyline, new family, everything.
Well, apparently one of the rumors, which I hope this is a completely wrong rumor, but supposedly they were saying Rey's parentage is actually she's Anakin reborn. If they go that route, I might be done with Star Wars if they really go that route. But if
I saw something the other day that said she's a Kenobi.
That would be cool. You know, like his granddaughter or something like that.
Yeah, they said just from the, I guess, like toys and artwork that's been up for like Battlefront 2, just the way that she stands holding her lightsaber, like it's very reminiscent of Obi-Wan and a lot of the old artwork from him. So,
you know, that also this whole conversation just made me think of another favorite scene that I had when Darth finally decides to save Luke, and he, you know, picks up, throws him in, you know, into the whole scene when he picks him up and he's just like throwing him down into the thing was pretty badass.
Yeah.
That was when you're like, wait a minute, why does James Earl Jones look like that?
Right. He's not even black.
Like Humpty Dumpty fall off.
Have you guys ever heard the story about the guy who played actually dressed up as Darth? Like he filmed the whole thing doing the voice and everything. And he seriously thought that they were going to use his voice.
I'd love to hear that. Do they have that?
I don't know, but I think they did have a clip. Not to say fine, but they said that, like when he found out when he went to go see the movie, that they actually dubbed James Earl Jones' voice in there.
It's like what the hell?
And then they edited him out completely.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They just like he basically was just non-existent. He was just a suit.
I wish he'd have like this like New Jersey housewife voice. Luke, I'm your father. Like something like that.
Straight Boston. Hey, Luke, I'm your father. I'm Darth Vader, for God's sake. Where'd you park the car? Where's the Millennium Falcon?
David Prowse was the actor's name, by the
He kind of reminds me of Kingpin when I look at the old movie, like just the bald head, like he was just in a fire and he's Kingpin. That's what he looks like.
Yeah. He kind of looks like
I thought you meant the Bill Murray bowling movie, so I thought you
No. You were talking about Wilson Fisk.
Yeah. He kind of looks like the Penguin when what's his face?
Danny DeVito.
And, you know, played the, yeah, like from the top up, you know, just the top of his head with eyes. Kind of like that look in his eyes.
That's
really like to me.
Hey, Bo, I'm Roy, in case you forget my name through the podcast.
Oh. Hi, Roy. All right. It's nice to meet you.
So, yeah, but I think, you know, Disney going forward, they got a plan. I mean, with all of their stuff, I'm sure Disney has a plan for the next 15 years of Star Wars movies if they're going that route. And honestly, when this series is over, I would actually like to see, you know, the Skywalker family story ends and see where they go from that point. See if they actually start the Jedi Order again or something similar. Because, it would be cool. I'm a big fan of the Star Wars, the Old Republic, you know, which is canon, but I don't know if they will ever do any movies on it, to have the video game sagas, but just to kind of, you know, actually have actual tons of Jedis out there doing different things, dealing with different threats again. But, you know, who knows? Disney, you know, they put a lot of misinformation out there, I think, just to keep fanboys like myself just guessing. So we'll see. Yeah. But other than that, anybody else has anything on this particular line of discussion?
Can't wait for more.
I guess the more or less the last topic for tonight. All right, guys, you got to pick a side. Dark side or light? Jedi or Sith? What are you guys going to do?
I'm going Jedi.
Going Jedi?
Yeah, I like to think I have a good enough soul to block the dark side.
See, I'm an asshole, so I'm going Sith.
I'm going Sith. Roy, Brian, you know, I don't know. What you guys going to do?
Sith, they wear cooler costumes.
They have better powers also.
I'm going Sith too. Every time I get a chance to play a Jedi in one of the video games and they give you a choice to go light or dark, it's always dark. Oh. I mean, who doesn't want to use Force Lightning? Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah. True.
And the Sith are not in themselves evil. They have a philosophy. It's just different. That's all. They're misunderstood, Buck. Since you're the only Jedi canon.
I guess I'm the only Jedi. I mean, I'm the only good guy. I mean.
Are they really good? I mean, if you think about it, the Jedi are really good. You know, they're very isolationist.
They don't go around killing kids. I know that. And I know
the only one of us did that.
Only one. Just one.
They don't destroy planets.
He went off the reservation. He went off the and Palpatine blew up the planet just to prove a point.
So he can say, hey, look what I can do. Yeah, I don't know. If you call that good, I don't want to be bad.
I'm just saying, I didn't say they were good. I'm saying they're not inherently evil. They just have a different take. The thing about it
is, if you're a Sith, you know you're the strong one, because either you're going to be alive or you're going to be dead.
They respect strength.
You know, so either you fight off your apprentice that you trained, or he kills you and takes up over.
Yeah.
Clear cut.
I just know that the Jedi always wins, so.
The Jedi are like soulless robots. That's how they want their people.
But the Jedi must end.
But you guys made clones, okay? They're just clones. They're mindless clones.
They're canon fodder. They're not Sith. They're just, you know, like, here you go.
Just saying.
They're like the North Korean troops. Just mindless clones. Just canon fodder. Just put them out there.
Right. So I guess that means you're the evil.
Again, they're not evil, though. They're not evil. They're misunderstood. Okay,
well, all right, misunderstood. I'll go for that.
There's kind of a fine line, anyways, between Jedi and Sith. You know, some people turn. You know, Anakin was originally trained as Jedi, so maybe.
Yeah,
maybe we'll turn you just yet.
But Yoda always knew. He always knew.
He did call it. That's true. He did call it.
And you also got those gray Jedi, right, that kind of used a little bit from the left and a little bit from the right. So,
Well, that wasn't the pre-Disney canon. I don't know if they're going with that route, but yeah. But, you know, if they would have just let Anakin have his wife, it would have been okay. That was it. If they would have let him have a family, he would have had no Darth Vader. Right.
No, that's true.
I think if I had to guess, Bo would have the purple lightsaber, too.
You know I would have purple.
His hilt will be shaped like the symbol from Prince.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The handle was holding me, yeah. You got it, see? I like where this is going.
Oh, man.
I don't think I'll have to stay on
the Jedi team. Formerly known as.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. Changing gears a little bit, but like, Rory, you would appreciate this since you and I are the cool kids in this particular category. Have you seen any clips of the new Battlefront, like the realism of this game? It looks amazing.
I have. I have seen the new clips for Battlefront 2, and I can't wait to play the beta and see what it's like. Yeah. I'm hoping they took everything that they learned from the first Battlefront and they've improved upon it, because the gameplay on the first one could really use some tweaking. So I'm looking forward to the story. I'm looking forward to going back to the older battles and being able to have them played out. I'm a huge fan of those games. I actually had a list of them, but I'm not going to bore the rest of you.
I know.
The ones that I've played back and forth, and to really be able to get into this whole Jedi mindset to be able to control, you know, a character that has those powers. There's a couple games that really throw you in the mix of it. So I won't bore you, but if you guys want to play Star Wars Connect and come over and, you know, utilize the Force, you're more than welcome.
Well, I think that's the beauty of Star Wars. You know, it's been 40 years, and we can all have our own level of fandom about it. You know, some people are just into the movies. Some people love the books, everything, the video games, all that stuff. And it's been 40 years, and it's still just as strong now as it ever was. And we're probably still going to love this for another 40 years. So,
yeah, definitely.
Definitely, definitely.
That is true. I know you guys have already started it. I'm starting to introduce what I can to my kids so that they develop a fandom of it. So I can continue like Tony's doing now to be able to enjoy the toys through them and say, hey, look, kids, this is what I got you. When I really know that I'm going to play with it probably just as much as they are.
Well, in my house, we have to get doubles if we get anything. I need my own toys. I'm sorry. I'm just going to be honest. I'm keeping it real.
Well, yeah, I mean, like you guys were saying, that to me is one of the coolest things, is being able to introduce it to your kids. Like, I remember my son was sick home from school one day, and that was when we first watched the trilogy, the original three, you know. And that to me was one of the coolest things. And then to be able to take him to the theater and see his first Star Wars movie in the theater, like, that's a memory you'll always have.
That's
and,
true.
And that's awesome to me. So yeah, I do enjoy passing the legacy down.
Yeah, my son still talks about seeing a Force Awakens like it was. So, yeah, that was cool. That's definitely a moment that, you know, I always remember. So,
moving forward, did you guys see that Part 9 is coming out Memorial Day weekend 2019?
Really? That's quick.
Yeah.
I did not see that.
Yeah, comicbook.com just announced that they leaked the release date, and it's supposed to be Memorial Day weekend of 2019 as opposed to the December weekend like they've done for the last one and for this one coming up. That's surprising to me because I thought they were all about owning that time slot. They owned Christmas 2 years ago and made all that cash, and I expect them to again this year. But I guess the next one, they want that Memorial Day weekend opening.
They must have something else for December.
Here's the thing. Does Disney have something else coming out that year that they want to lock down Christmas with instead?
Or did James Cameron already book them up with 8 avatars?
Yeah.
I don't know. I had assumed, you know, one of the Captain Americas or Avengers would have been in that spot. You know, I thought it was perfect. You know, they had their Star Wars, has that Disney week, that Christmas week, and that was their own. You know, no one ever put out films in that time slot, and they did it 2 years ago and made billions of dollars. So I figured nobody would even challenge them then. That was theirs to own forever. They did it with Rogue One even, and then this year, but it's just a leak and it's just a rumor. It's just surprising to me that they would just take a normal Memorial Day weekend to kick off summer blockbusters for that.
Well, maybe that's their way of going back to the beginning because they all started on Memorial Day. All of the original six were all Memorial Day weekend drops. So,
I think like the Force Awakens was kind of they weren't planning on doing the December thing. They just made so much money and then like, oh, we're going to continue doing it. But maybe just for the last one, to wrap up the Skywalker saga. Maybe that's part of the main reason, just to do it like the original Memorial Day weekend. I'm sure they have some logic to it. I mean, they're going to make a buttload of money regardless. You know, it can be a weekend in February if they wanted to. They're still going to make billions.
But. Well, and originally they were going to do this one. They were going to do part 8 today, May the 4th. And then they decided to push it back and stick around with that December time slot and keep it. And so then they threw other films that are going to make a ton of money this weekend instead. But either way, they'll make their money. Either way, we'll go see it. Either way, we're all booked, just like Tony just said, for the last 40 and for the next 40. I'm excited for every product that Star Wars is going to put out.
Yeah.
Happy May the 4th from me, everybody.
Happy May the 4th, guys.
Happy May the 4th.
Happy May the 4th.
Hold on, wait. Craig here. I finally broke out of the carbonite. I can give my opinion of Star Wars, please. All right, this is what I gotta say. Roy, totally with you. Yoda, by far, best character. He's funny, he's entertaining, and no matter what anybody says, that scene in Attack of the Clones where he fights Dooku is amazing. Everybody knows it, everybody enjoyed it. It was the best scene there was. My favorite part of Star Wars altogether, have to say, it's actually the trailers, because I remember when the trailer for Phantom Menace came out, how exciting that was, that Duel of the Fates song, it showed Darth Maul with the dual lightsaber, how excited everybody got about that. It's ridiculous. It's insane how excited I was to see that movie. Turned out, wasn't all that great in the first place, but I loved it, I loved the trailer, and same thing happened with Force Awakens. When they started showing the trailer, when they started the music, when they bring up, you see Han Solo and Chewie saying we're home, you see the Millennium Falcon again, it's amazing. It made me so excited all over again. So I have to say, actually, the trailers are some of the best parts of Star Wars. Worst part, it's weird because it's not actually part of the movie, but the worst part about Star Wars that I hate is the fact that people defend to the bitter end that George Lucas wanted this to be 9 parts from the very beginning, that he knew what he was doing. I don't believe that. I believe Star Wars, the original one, New Hope, supposed to be a one-off. It went extremely well. He may have had some ideas in his head as to some what sort of the prior story was and things like that, but I guarantee you he did not have 9 parts in his head when he started filming that movie, when he wrote Star Wars in the first place. I don't care what people say. I don't care what all the Star Wars nerds, Nick, say. There is no chance that he knew what he was doing right then and that he was going to make it 9 parts. But I have to say that the most important thing that has ever come out of Star Wars, I am shocked and appalled that you guys did not discuss. Because out of everything that has ever happened with Star Wars, out of everything that has ever come out, canon, non-canon, anything like that, the most important thing to me, by any means, is this song. And the fact that you guys didn't discuss it offends me. So I'm going to play right now.
Now Sort of pitchy.
Didn't like it?
Listen, man, I'm not your friend.
Don't fall asleep.